I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
9:09 now on this foggy Monday morning. Leslie Harris joins us, New Orleans City Councilmember, talk about the latest on the homeless encampment sweep. Good morning, Councilmember Harris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm okay. I saw you out there on the news, at least, the day of the sweep by the state police. You didn't seem very happy at all.
No, it was very upsetting, especially because we thought that we'd been assured that the sweep would not occur. A lot of the folks out in the Calliope encampment at least had vouchers ready to go to get into housing. And so we had asked the state to hold off on sweeping that particular encampment until Thanksgiving because the city had a plan in place to decommission that encampment, get the folks there housed by Thanksgiving. I thought that that was an agreement that we had with the state, but obviously that didn't happen. Because on Wednesday morning, we woke up to see state police, wildlife and fisheries, and other agencies of the state clearing the encampment.
Yeah, you know, I want to ask you that because you were out there and you saw, I guess, chaos would be an accurate phrase, Leslie?
It was chaos. It was upsetting. I really have never experienced anything like that before. You know, people who were living there, and we have to remember that this is where they're living. So it's almost like someone coming to your house and saying, you gotta move. And while the state kept saying it was only two blocks away, it really was more like a half a mile from the Calliope encampment, which is across from the Greyhound station, down to Home Depot is about a half a mile. And so moving those folks a half a mile, telling them to get their stuff, it was chaos. It was upsetting. And, it was unbelievable, frankly.
Did you get the idea or did you get the feeling that, you know what, we're working on this, we got something in place, why must you come and knock it all over?
Yeah, in fact, we had walked with Commander Hyatt of Troop NOLA on that Monday, and he walked with Nate Fields, and I, Nate is the Director of Homelessness Strategies and Services for the city. And Commander Hyatt even noted that the encampment seemed peaceful, that he didn't see signs of drug use. People actually sweep around their various tents. And, he was going to take it back to the governor that there should be a pause put on the sweep, but that obviously did not happen.
So what is the situation now?
So there was a TRO filed on a temporary restraining order filed on Friday, prohibiting the state from doing any more sweeps. The state was actually going onto city property where there were encampments and telling people that they had to move, which, again, they can do that on state property, but they can't do that on city property. So they were actually going to other areas and transporting people from those other areas into this concentrated encampment, which, again, just creates more chaos because if you put a lot of people into a concentrated area, territory issues break out, people get upset because their stuff is getting moved. And frankly, we had people moving into the neighborhoods, which I told the state was exactly what was going to happen.
Did you get the sense that the state police didn't really want to have to be doing this?
And that was my impression. I Commander Hyatt and I have a good relationship. I respect him immensely. I don't think that this is something that they wanted to do, especially at the Calliope encampment, especially because that encampment, again, consisted of about 75 people. And it was really older people just with vouchers in hand waiting for housing. Many of them signed leases that week to get into housing. So my impression was the state police didn't really want to be doing it, but were ordered to do so. And I will note that NOPD did not take part in any of the sweeps that happened.
So for people that don't quite understand about the voucher situation, because I'm getting some text here, Leslie, about what you had in place and how it upset the apple cart. Tell me about that, please.
Sure. Sure. So we Unity Travelers Aid receive vouchers that are housing vouchers. People have to get qualified to get those vouchers, so they have to be qualified. It takes several months to get qualified. They have to have their IDs in place, their Social Security cards. They have to be evaluated medically and psychologically in order to get a housing voucher. Once those vouchers are in hand, then people have to find a place, and we have people to help them to find a place to live, which requires convincing a landlord to take previously homeless people and house them. Again, that can be a process as well. So by moving these folks, a lot of people don't have cell phones. You have to remember that. A lot of people work and leave their stuff to go work. We had that in several instances where people were working and their stuff was moved and they lost everything. So they're losing their IDs, they're losing their vouchers, and then it takes additional outreach to go find that person to get them back in the system and to really get them to trust you again that this isn't going to happen.
Somebody texted and said that New Orleans has more than enough rooms to shelter all the homeless people. I don't think it was. Good.
Address that if you would.
I guess what I'm asking you to do, Leslie, is, and here it goes back to me seeing you out there.
Yeah.
A little sweaty. I don't mean that in an uncomplimentary way. I just mean you're there, right? I mean you're living it. You're feeling it. For people that just drive by, they don't even live in Orleans Parish, they think they know, but they don't, tell them.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And what they're missing, please.
Yeah, my team and I work on the issue of homelessness every single day, Tommy. So this is not like we're flying by night and this is just happening and I'm out there for photo ops. We literally work on it every day. My chief of staff was out there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday just trying to help people and assist with Nate's team. We do not have enough shelter for our homeless folks. Our low barrier shelter is at capacity. That is run by Odyssey House, and they're doing a great job running our low barrier shelter. There are other shelters like the Salvation Army, like the Mission, like Ozanam Inn, but many of those shelters have requirements that folks are not addicted. Some shelters take people in for the night, but then have them leave during the day so that they're just roaming the streets until the shelter opens back up. So we do not have enough shelter beds, number one. Number two, we do not have enough housing for our folks. That's why the Housing Trust Fund, I've been, you know, talking to you about that and talking to voters about it, is so critical so that we can get additional apartments built for people to live in. And the other misconception is that a lot of people on the street are drug addicted, are mentally impaired. And in some cases, that's true. But we also have a lot of people, one of my neighbors included, who lost their housing, had no money, and had no place to go. And so, again, we see people who are leaving their tents, going to work in fast food restaurants, and then coming back to sleep at night in their tents just to make it through on a day-to-day basis. And so the misconception of who is living in the encampments is really great. And, you know, I'm always able to answer questions to anyone who wants to sit with me and talk about it.
Not great in a good way, great as in volume.
Yeah.
The misconception.
Great misconception about it. And again, if anybody wants to walk the encampments with me and my team, I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to introduce them to folks and they can hear their stories firsthand.
I think more people need to do that. Let me ask you about people going to work that are homeless, because that defies everything that some people in their, I don't want to insult anybody here, but real ignorance of the situation and trying to think that there's a a simple solution to a complex problem. And, you know, I don't know if they go to church or not, but I know when I was growing up, they used to sing the song, "Whatsoever you do to the least of my brethren, that you do unto me." And I think, yep. You know, I'm not a religious zealot here, Leslie, or anything, but I do think at some point you got to realize that they're just fellow human beings, right? So if you want to take a second and clear up some of the misconceptions or misperceptions that these are not people that are just, you know, bums or anything, however you want to say it.
Yeah, you know, we had an incident, I guess it was last year, where a woman had driven to New Orleans with her disabled father, her son, for a job, and that job fell through, and her car broke down. It sounds like a country music song, but this is reality. And she, her disabled father, and her son were living in an encampment. All it took literally was getting her car fixed and her a gas card to get her back to where she needed to be. This wasn't somebody, again, who was drug addicted or mentally impaired. It was just someone who fell on hard times and needed simple problem solving in order to get themselves back to where they needed to be. That's what the outreach workers do on a daily basis. They go out into the encampments, they problem solve with people. Sometimes it is just a matter of getting a bus ticket. Grace at the Green Light does a great job at that, of getting people bus tickets back to family members who can house them back out of town, because a lot of people come to New Orleans looking for jobs, can't find housing, and then guess what? They end up sleeping outside or sleeping in their cars.
As the father of a daughter, I like successful, confident, strong women, because I think you're a good role model for people like that, and I think that is exactly what you are. And you made partner in a law firm, then you decided to run for city council because I don't have to puff you up. People know about you. But I guess the point I'm making is, Leslie, why do you choose to do this when the easiest thing in the world would be to just, you know, tackle something else?
Because I care about people, because my team cares deeply about the city. You can see the outreach workers, they were devastated to see what happened. And I sound emotional because I am. It was really, really hard to see Tommy.
Thank you for your efforts. I'm sorry. If is there anything anybody can do to help? What can people do if they want to get involved, if they want to find out more about this? Like you said, you'd be glad to walk with them and show them what the real problems are.
Absolutely. I'm happy to walk with anybody or sit and have a coffee with them and talk about it. But they can visit Home for Good New Orleans, homeforgoodneworleans.org. It's a website where you can actually donate to help folks get housed. You can also read up on all of the efforts. We have gotten housed since the beginning of this year, almost 600 people. So 600 people housed and off the streets. We will continue this effort despite whatever the state does. And we are having a meeting with the state tomorrow to talk about how this can be prevented in the future. So I will be there, and I will continue to advocate for the least of us.
Thank you, Leslie. I appreciate your time and your efforts. God bless you.
Thank you, Tommy. Bye.
Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council Member, 922. Quick break. We come back. We'll talk to Ramon Antonio Vargas. Third-party expert issued a report on how to settle a highly contentious New Orleans church bankruptcy case. We'll talk about it when we come back on WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.